Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And this is from Luke 15, verses 1 to 10. The parable of the lost sheep. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Okay, morning. Has anybody ever been lost? Like really, really lost? You know when you get into a shop and you've got your husband with you and you say, "I just need to look at this," and then they've gone. And you cannot find them everywhere. And you're like, "But we've got to do this. And in fact, I need my Costa coffee. Come on, hurry up." And you can't find him anywhere. It's a bit difficult for me to lose mine. He's 6'6". But believe me, if we're in a shop, he will quite happily wander. Well, this last fortnight, I've been a school mum. And it's my favourite job in the whole wide world. Apart from being a real mum, obviously. Every year, for 23 years now, I've had 270 little faces arrive on the first day of term looking at me like this. "We've done the bus, we've got here, thank you." And then they go, "Can I have my locker key? Because everything needs to get in my locker because I'm too little to carry it." And there's that fright. And you give them the map of the school. I mean, who in their right mind gives a poor year seven with the turtle bag on their back, with every belonging, because mum says you'll need everything, on their back, walking around the school trying to read a map? I mean, they just can't do it, can they? So there you are, sort of shepherding them along, aren't you, into this classroom. They end up in science when they're supposed to be in art. You try to tell them there is a simplicity about it, but it'll be fine, we'll get you there. And then this week, suddenly, they look at you and go, "I know where I can go. I've got to go to PE, and that's down by PE, isn't it, Mrs. Cook?" And I'm like, "Yeah, you've done it." And you just feel so good that those little faces that look so lost and so alone on that first couple of days suddenly start shining and their confidence grows. And then all of a sudden you'll get one come to my door. "My pencil case, I left it in a classroom and I can't remember where I've got it and I don't know what to do and my mum's going to go really cross because she spent a lot of money on my things." And then all of a sudden out of my magic box, "Is this your pencil case? You've got it, thank you so much." And that's really lovely. And then on the back in July, they all come in with their mums and dads and their families to meet us. And I've started to get to the point now, and those of you that have worked in schools will understand this, when you get someone come in and go, "Oh, Mrs. Cook's still here, you're going to be fine, she'll look after you." And you think, "Oh, that's one of my very naughty, challenging ones from many years ago that's now bringing me theirs to look after." And I look down and I think, "Yep, you're going to be just like your mother, it's going to be fine." And you're like, "Oh, here we go." And I have to do the lost sheep thing all over again and look after them and care for them, even when they're perhaps not quite as good as they should be. And actually, that's what a good shepherd's about, isn't it? It's looking after all of those, whether they're good with their little faces and are really good and stay where they're supposed to be in their little pens doing what they're doing,
Or you've always got that one who thinks, that clover over there looks much nicer than this grass over here, so I'm going over there. And they go across and they go over, and the clover actually isn't just over there, it's over a big ditch. And they fall in that ditch. And then you hear them crying. And there's no one there because their mums can't go and get them out. They have to wait for that good shepherd. And our story today, or our gospel reading today, I love this story because for me, the people I love the most are those little sheep that have been a bit cheeky and gone down in that ditch. And we need to get those people and we need to scoop them up and we need to bring them back and we need to care for them and love them just like we all care for and love for each other that's sitting out here this morning, because we know Jesus, that's why we're here. It's all those out there that haven't met him yet, and that's who we need to go and find and bring into our flock. Thank you. I'm going to say a little prayer now. Dear Jesus, you are the good shepherd. We are thankful that you came to save those who are lost. Amen.